We also like to welcome our internet audience with us today. We thank the Lord for the opportunity we have of speaking and preaching and also being picked up by people all over the world through the means of internet. And in addition to that, we like to encourage those who are listening from other areas and hearing the message today that all of our messages, most all of our messages, are on are listed in such a way you can have them downloaded, sermon audio, and you can download all the messages on your computer. I want us to go once again to the 23rd Psalm. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to that selection? Psalm number 23. We were very privileged last week to have three of our men speaking and bringing messages from the pulpit. And all three were a blessing to me and also to a blessing to this church. It interrupted our series in the 23rd Psalm, but we'd like to pick up where we stopped off for that particular service. Psalm number 23, it is a beautiful psalm and it is a very meaningful psalm in that everything you need as a believer is to be found in the 23rd Psalm. Now, it's good to read it and be comforted by it, but it's even more blessed to read it when you can pick out so many wonderful things that the shepherd does for the sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. We're not goats. There are goats out there. In Matthew, the Lord speaks of a day of judgment in which the nations shall stand before him and they're going to be divided, the sheep from the goats. And the goats will be rejected and the sheep will be admitted. Now, not all people are sheep. Not all people, thank God, are goats. But those who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we are the sheep of his pasture. And this 23rd Psalm is for us, for those who know him. Psalm number 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now then, we have been in this study for 8 weeks. This is the eighth in a series of messages on this 23rd Psalm. And the portion I'd like to deal with this morning is found in verse number 4, the second part of that verse, that says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. A shepherd is one who herds sheep. A goat herd is one who herds goats. Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's the sheep herder. But Satan is the goat herder. We need to understand that all goats belong to Satan by nature. All sheep belong to Jesus Christ by grace and election. God's sheep have needs which only the shepherd can provide. Now understand that statement because it's very, very important. God's sheep have needs that only the shepherd can provide. How often do we come up empty because we go to the wrong source to meet our needs. Our needs are provided only by the shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep. And sheep have many needs. Sheep need to be defended. They need to be defended from bad pastures. They need to be defended from thieves, from wild animals, from the elements of nature such as storms and extreme temperatures. Sheep need to be defended. Not only that, but sheep need to be counted. This is the only way we can make sure all are present, safe, and accounted for. Basically, all sheep look alike. And if you didn't count them, you wouldn't know if any were missing or not. So sheep need to be counted. Sheep need discipline. They have to be sheared closely. They must have a proper diet. They must have good exercise and the right amount of rest. Sheep need guidance. They have no inborn GPS. They have to be directed. They cannot find their way nor follow by themselves. And sheep need tender love and care. A lot of animals do not. Alligators don't need intimacy. But sheep need closeness, and they need fondness, and they need care. They must be treated with intimacy and kindness, else they will scatter from the flock. Be it known that Satan the goat herder not only cannot provide for the sheep with these things, but would not even if he could. Only the shepherd provides for the sheep. There's a precious verse in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10. The Lord speaking himself says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So says our shepherd. Satan does not want to defend the sheep. He wants to destroy the sheep. Peter says he is the devil and walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Satan does not want to count the sheep. He wants to consume the sheep. Satan does not want to discipline the sheep. He wants to devour the sheep. Satan does not want to guide the sheep. He wants to grind the sheep. Satan does not want to love the sheep. He wants to lie to the sheep. However, it is the shepherd who provides for the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Thus far in the series, we've seen how the Lord provides us with many things. He provides us with rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He provides us with refreshment. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He provides us with restoration. He provides us with righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He provides us with protection. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now, in our study today, I want us to see how the shepherd provides the sheep with comfort by the skillful use of the rod and the staff. And we'll focus on 2 points. Number one, defining the rod and the staff. What does he mean when he says he'll provide us with the rod or protect us with a rod. He'll comfort us with his rod and the staff. And then demonstrating the rod and staff as they bring comfort. We passed out a few of these before the service started. I hope you got one. If you have it upside down, I can assure you it'll make absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. And you can tell whether you're looking at it upside down or not, because at the bottom of it, it says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And if you can read that, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," most likely you got it right side up. If you can't read those words, you need to turn it over upside right instead of it being upside down. This is a pencil sketch. And it was done to show you that many times those artists who depict Jesus Christ being a shepherd do not emphasize the most important things about him. For instance, notice there is the staff. Have you noticed how he's holding the staff? He doesn't hold it from the crook side. He holds it from the bottom side. But there's also another instrument in his left hand. It is called the rod. "The rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, if you really want to have something to do when you're bored and don't know what else to do, count the number of sheep. And I'd be interested in knowing how many you count. And this could go on for 2 or 3 weeks. My member comes up and says, "You know, about 3 weeks ago you said count the sheep. I've counted, and this is the number I have." It's quite interesting. But this is what we're talking about today. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now notice, we normally think of a shepherd with only a staff which has a crook in the top of it. But our scripture makes it clear there are two instruments, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Notice the wording, not thy rod and staff, but thy rod and thy staff. Notice not thy rod and staff, it comforts me, but thy rod and staff, they, plural, they comfort me. There are two different Hebrew words here. The word for rod is one word, and the word for staff is an entirely different word. So you come up with two ingredients here, or two instruments here. You might want to take a moment, and I won't have you turning to too many passages today, but you might take a moment to turn to Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 7. Zechariah chapter 11, verse number 7. We just got out of studying this blessed Old Testament book. Rather recently, we went through the entire book of Zechariah, and in this particular 11th chapter, it is pointing out the misuse of shepherds and the sheep. They have been false shepherds, and as a result, many of the sheep have been persecuted and many of the sheep have died. And he makes it clear, however, that the Lord will provide a Messiah who will be a good shepherd. And he speaks prophetically of that good shepherd in verse 7, chapter 11 of Zechariah. "I will feed the flock of slaughter." He calls them the flock of slaughter because many of the sheep are going to be persecuted and have to give their lives due to false shepherds. "O poor of the flock, I took unto me," watch this, "two staves," or two sticks, "the one I called beauty and the other I called bands, and I fed the flock." He's going to use two instruments to feed the flock, beauty and bands, or the staff and the rod. They're two staves, two sticks. Beauty indicates loving care and kindness. That speaks of the staff. But bands, B-A-N-D-S, not talking about a musical group of people, but talking about that thing that's designed to hold back and restrict and to choke out. Binders, if you please, indicate restraint and punishment. And it is the rod. The staff will be used for care and kindness. The rod will be used for punishment and discipline. And both are necessary in our Christian growth as sheep that belong to the flock. Now then, having said that, the rod speaks of sovereignty and authority. I said, the rod speaks of sovereignty and authority. Now, my mother was a genius in knowing how to use a rod. And she could threaten me, and she could say, you know what, if you don't stop what you're doing, I'm going to get after you. And it just wouldn't make too much of an indention. But I tell you this, when she got the peach tree limb after me, and she got the stick after me, and she got the rod after me, I knew that I was in trouble because she exercised sovereignty and authority. You see, this rod was more like a club or a thick baseball bat. Notice that illustration you have there. Not the one that has the curve on it, that's the staff, but the rod. More like a club or a thick baseball bat. It was cut from a tree and studded at the end with nails and sharp pieces of metal. It could be swung or thrown as a weapon. It was an extension of the shepherd's right arm. It was an extension of the shepherd's right arm. He would carry it on a strap tied to his wrist. Is not Christ Jesus the extension of God's right arm? Is he not seated today at the Father's right hand making intercession for us? Christ is that rod of authority. Now in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, even this dear prophet spoke of Jesus Christ. There shall come forth a rod. There's the word. Not the staff, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his own eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. This speaks of the second coming of Christ. He will reprove the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips, and he shall slay the wicked. That, dear friends, is sovereignty and absolute authority, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The rod was always used in connection with sovereignty and authority. It was used for that. Moses and Aaron went into the presence of Pharaoh, and Aaron, wanting to impress Pharaoh as to who had sent them, threw his rod down on the ground. And when the rod hit the ground, it became a serpent. And Pharaoh had some of the Chaldeans to throw their rods on the ground, and their rods became serpents. However, Aaron's rod ate their rod. Aaron's serpent ate their serpents, indicating that he represented an authority greater than the entire government of Egypt, including Pharaoh himself. When Moses was stopped temporarily at the Red Sea, with the millions of Jews who were going to cross over that sea, they began to gripe and complain, and Moses took the matter to the Lord, and the Lord told him, speak to the children of Israel that they go forward. Remember what he did? He held forth his rod. That's the rod of sovereignty. That's the rod of authority. And commanded the waters to part, and they parted on the right and the left, and the children of Israel could go through on the other side. You see, the rod let the sheep know who was boss. The rod let the sheep know who was boss. Many, many times I have had parents come to me and say, "Brother Cozart, I don't know how our children are taking over the home. They have misbehaved so much, they have mastered it. And when my husband and I or my wife and I try to do anything about it, they just stick their tongue out at us and laugh at us. They think it's cute." I've often wondered when they say that, how many times have they used a rod? Now, your pastor will probably be locked up and put in jail for what I'm about to say. But one of the great reasons for juvenile delinquency today is there's no parental authority in the home. The children have become the boss. The children rule the home. The children tell the parents what they can do and what they cannot do. That was not the case, my dear friends, 50 and 60 years ago. And it is not a case when we deal with Christianity and our shepherd. Though the Lord Jesus loves us so very, very much, He wants us to know who's boss. He's the authority. He is the rod. The staff, however, speaks of care and development. It too was carved out of a thinner piece of wood with a curve or a hook at the end. This was the main instrument the shepherd used in caring for the sheep by way of development. He'd carry that staff with him, and he used that staff to develop them and to guide them and to lead them. How did he use the staff? To defend the sheep. He would use the staff, even the staff, to defend the sheep. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verses 12 through 15. John 10, 12 through 15. We read these words. "He that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. But I am the good sheep, and know my sheep, and have known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I laid down my life for the sheep." When danger approaches, the Lord Jesus Christ stands between the believer and danger. He stands between the sheep and the oncoming, approaching trouble that's coming that way. And he defends the sheep. Whenever a wild animal or a danger approached, the shepherd would put himself between the danger of the sheep. This is what Christ did for us, did he not? On the cross of Calvary, he stood between us and the enemy. What a comfort this is. He crushed Satan's head with a rod while on the cross to discipline, to defend us rather, and then to discipline the sheep. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, and incidentally that's in the Bible, okay? "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." Did you hear that? "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." So, you know, I love my children too much. I couldn't lay a hand on them. That's because you hate them. If you loved them like you ought to, your love can be a tough thing sometimes, dear friend. It's more than just saying no. And it's more than just saying we're going to take a recess and a little time out. It's saying, tell you what, if you don't want to be beat half to death, you better straighten up. And they understand that. They know what that means. And it's to discipline the sheep. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." And I'm glad he put that word betimes there. Doesn't beat up on them all the time. You know, I've often said, if you really want to discipline your child, do it right. And if you do it right, you won't have to do it every day. I promise you that. Sometimes we just may be disciplined enough to make the child mad and fret. I've seen him before. I've seen him in grocery stores before. I've seen him in department stores before. I saw this little kid. He was tugging on mom and she wanted to do this. And oh, he wouldn't let her. He started crying and whimpering and this, that, and the other. And she said, "Mommy's going to spank you if you don't stop." He didn't stop. He just got worse and worse. And the department manager went over and said, "Lady, could I help you with your problem?" She said, "What is my problem?" He said, "You look like you got a child here that doesn't want to mind you. Can I help you with that?" She said, "No, I've got it under control." But that time the kid had gotten one of the posts that came down in the store. He wrapped his little arms and legs around that, started climbing up the post. And she said, "I believe I will let you help me." He got in right behind the kid. He climbed the post, got up to where the kid was, and mentioned something quiet in his ear. And the little boy slipped down the post and walked over to his mother and wrapped himself up in the hemline of her dress. And she said, "Don't you do that anymore." He said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Will you stand over there just a minute?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." And the little boy went over and stood apart from his mother. And the mother went over to the department manager who had done this. And she said, "I'll give you $100 if you'll tell me what you told my boy." He said, "Well, lady, I don't think you'll like it." She said, "I'll give you $200 if you'll tell me what you told him." He said, "I told him, son, if you don't get down off this pole, I'm going to beat you half to death." Kids understand that. They don't understand time out. Where did you ever come up with time out to discipline the sheep? To discipline the sheep. In Hebrews 12, 6 through 8, we don't have the time, but that's a good reference to read. The shepherd would use the rod as a goad to prod his sheep when they would go astray. What a comfort. By use of the rod, we know we're his. By use of the rod, we know we're his. He chasteneth every son whom he receives. That's one of the evidences you can know you're a child of God. You cannot misbehave without God applying disciplinary measures to it. That's because he loves you and he wants you to grow up right. And sometimes the rod was used to determine the sheep by counting. By counting. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 20 verses 37 through 38, "I will cause you to pass under the rod." Did you know that's in your Bible? "I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me." As the sheep came in at evening, the shepherd would stand at the door of the sheep cote, and he would dip his rod over the head of every sheep that entered. By counting the number of dips, he knew the number of sheep. It was called passing under the rod. If a goat was present, the shepherd used the rod and pushed him aside because the goat could never pass under the rod. But as sheep, he counts us by passing us under this instrument called the rod. This is how the shepherd in Luke 15 knew that one of his sheep was missing. He counted, and he had 100, but he only counted 99. One was missing. What a comfort of knowing that we're counted among the sheep. That's ownership. Very quickly, the use of the staff, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He uses the staff to rescue the sheep. In John chapter 17, verse number 12, "While I was in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those whom thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." If the sheep had fallen into a ravine, the shepherd would use the crook in the staff to pick the sheep up to safety, thus rescuing the sheep. What a comfort to know He's given us eternal life and we shall never perish. And even if we fall, He will pick us up again and again. He rescues us. Not only does the staff speak of comfort in that it rescues the sheep, it restrains the sheep. In Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walking in the Spirit is not running ahead of the Spirit. The shepherd would use the crook to pull the sheep back. Sometimes he would just place that crook in the staff over the sheep's neck and pull him back. Number one, maybe he was going too fast and wanted to get ahead of the others. I hope you can spiritualize this message, because it's very easy sometimes, Christians, to think we're in a competition with each other. And we're not in a competition with each other. We all belong by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. And sometimes when we try to get ahead of our brothers and sisters, the Lord uses the crook to pull the sheep back. Not only from going too fast to get ahead, but going aside to get away. Maybe we have some forbidden fruit we're interested in, and we go aside that we might backslide. What a comfort to know that He loves us so much, He'll not let us have our way. Aren't you glad He will not let you have your way? He may for a while, but there comes a time when the Lord says, no more. No more. Talking about spiritualizing this, dear Christian, has this ever occurred to you? Has this ever happened to you? In your life, the Holy Spirit lives within you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Has the Holy Spirit ever approached you and said, "I arrest you. Stop what you're doing. We're going to look in your heart and see if there's anything in your heart that ought not to be there. And if there is, we're going to have to do something about it." He does not give us a free license to do whatever we want to do anytime we want to do it. We live under the sovereign control of God Almighty, and we should be obedient to our shepherd and to love Him because He's our Lord as well as our shepherd. To restrain the sheep. When we begin to go in a wrong direction, He gently pulls us back with a staff. If that doesn't work, He uses a rod to pop us on the head. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes it takes a little bit more pressure to get the attention of some Christians than others. And to reassure the sheep, the staff reassures the sheep. 1 John 5:13, "These things write unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might have eternal life, and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God." The shepherd would use the opposite end of the staff to touch the sheep on his back or on the top of his head to let him know that he wasn't alone, that the shepherd was present. It was a touch of intimacy. It is possible for an entire flock of sheep to become restless when they cannot see the shepherd's staff. Whenever you get to the point of thinking, "Well, the Lord's a million miles from me today, and He's not even aware of what I'm having to go through," usually you don't improve, you get worse. What a comfort. His touch reassures me that I am His. I thank God today for the touch of the shepherd. And there have been so many, many times, my dear friends, when I felt so forsaken, spiritually speaking, and like I was the only one fighting the battle, like Elijah said, "I'm the only one left." And the shepherd would touch me saying, "Dan, I'll not leave you and I'll not forsake you." Just that touch means so much. I've had a few escapades in the hospital with surgery. And of course, they put you to sleep. And then there's that period of recovery or coming back out from under a deep sleep. And I could touch anybody. A nerve, a nurse could touch my hand. A doctor could shake me a little bit. But all of a sudden, my wife could touch my hand. I knew it was her. That meant something. And I don't care what you're having to go through today, my friend, the touch of the shepherd. He loves his sheep. And just that touch means so very much. I'll stop with this statement. How does he touch us? He touches us by his Spirit in Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He touches us with his word in Luke 24:32. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? He touches us with prayer in Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Notice the picture which you received at the beginning of the service. The shepherd has both a rod and a staff, and he uses both of these to comfort us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, but he only comforts his sheep. He doesn't comfort goats, but he does comfort his sheep. Have you trusted him as your Savior? Has there ever been a time in your life when you felt and knew that you were a sinner and you needed to be forgiven and you needed a Savior? And as best you knew how, you asked the Lord Jesus to be your Savior and your Master. Has it ever occurred to you? Has it ever happened to you? If you really meant that, my dear friends, God opened your heart. He's redeemed you by his grace and you belong to him. But if that's never been your experience, you don't have the care of a shepherd. You don't have a shepherd. And you don't have a heavenly Father. Look to Christ today. Trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Let's stand, please, for prayer.